In 1 Peter 4 and verse 10 it says this: each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. PA systems and operating PA systems is a gift. It's something I've been involved in since I was about 11 years old, messing about with amplifiers and speakers and microphones and things. What we want to try and do on this course is just to get you familiar with the system and the bits of the system so that you know what each piece does. And then you'll find out if you've got a gift. So let's start here on page one. The first session really is a bit unusual because I want you to catch the vision really of what the PA system's about. It's not just amps and speakers and stuff. There's much more to it than that. So let's start, and you can do the little questions on the top, can't you? The only one I can get right is name. Okay, go on, fill in the questions yourself. You don't need me to ask you the questions. How did you get the idea? Have you been called to do it? You'll probably say pass on that one. And what skills do you have? Well, I know that Duncan and Ron have electronics skills, right? You work with or in electronics. You see, and that's a start. So if I use the word potentiometer, you see, they'll both know what I'm saying. And the rest of you will have to give me £4.50 each. I don't know if you've got any knowledge of that sort of stuff, Pete. I don't know, so... It's okay. If anything comes out that you haven't got a clue what I'm saying, then of course you ask, all right? Are you musical? Do you sing or play an instrument? It's a real help on a PA system, because you can think from the other side of the perspective. Like, you know, to be on the platform and to use a PA system is one side of the fence. To be off the platform in the auditorium and shove the faders up and down is another perspective of it. If you're and you're operating a PA, you can think like a musician. That really helps. But of course, if you can't, then never mind. Okay, part one. What is the PA system for? Well, you just shove down there on that little line whatever your answer is to that question. What is a PA system for? Are you following this, Apollinaire? If you don't catch something I say, then, you know, ask me, you know, if you don't understand something. Yeah, write it down. Yeah, be brave. Stick those things on those papers. Yeah. It's all right, because no one's going to look at them. It's not a test. I suppose if you were to ask me the same question, what is a PA system for? I'd say it was a tool for furthering the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a tool that we use. So let's have a look at this job description. As a PA operator, or sound mixer, whichever one you prefer, you're responsible for the smooth operation of the system, right? You need to know the system thoroughly so that you can cope with the unexpected. Because on the PA, if the unexpected has any chance of happening, it usually does. Ask Pete. You know, things go haywire and go funny just when you don't expect them. So you need to know all the bits of the system so you can get there quick, right, and sort it. This includes any setting up or stowing away of mics and amps, etc. Part of the PA operator's job is to get all the mics out of their box and stick them on the wires, and then at the end of the meeting, take them off the wires and stick them back in the box. It's your job to ensure that everyone in the meeting hears clearly, hears clearly every word spoken or sung. Sorry, I'm laughing, but I know how difficult that is. Especially in St. Paul's with its, what, 5-6 second echo. It's a real humdinger, is that one. You must know how to get the best out of the system, and we'll touch on lots of things throughout the rest of the weeks. This requires a certain amount of natural ability, a musical ear, and a degree of confidence. Well, there we got Polly on that one. Confident, confident Paul, I think I'm going to call you from now on. Yeah? Okay, not to mention some study and practice. You are there to serve the congregation, who are God's children, right? You are there to serve the people on the platform, who are God's servants. And this is more than just having the mic on. Right, we'll touch on these in a bit. You hold a key position in the meeting. Now, you might not think this because the PA is sat at the back. It's like the mixer is at the back, right? But I'll say, I've said this to Pastor and he agrees with me. The seat behind the PA desk is the most important seat in the place. Because the person who is there with his pinkies on those faders can either make or break any meeting. Can totally annihilate anyone who's preaching on the PA system without even trying. On the other hand, you can really enhance what's happening and make it good for everyone. Okay? So it's a key position in the meeting. It requires a person who is punctual, reliable, slim, spiritual, and capable. Okay, there's a sort of a rough outline, okay? So we're looking a bit more detail at some of the points now. So if we look at point one in more detail. Smooth operation of the system, right, is vital for the smoothness of the meeting. Constant feedback, which does happen, that's that nasty squeal you hear sometimes, or mics not on, they're a distraction. And it's very frustrating for those on the platform. It's horrible to go to a microphone and stand there and speak when the microphone isn't on. It is frustrating to the point of frustration. And no one likes to do impersonation of a fish, you know. I mean, you get there and the mic slowly fades up through the first four sentences, you know. I mean, that's not good because some of the good stuff comes out in the first sentence. Most people now, if they have any experience, they'll go to the mic and they'll say, "Amen," four or five times just to make sure the mic's on before they say anything. You know? So next time someone does that, you'll know what they're doing. "Amen, hallelujah, brother," you know, that's just to see if the mic's on. Okay. You must know the system inside out, both physically and temperamentally. Something that worked on Tuesday stands very little chance of actually working again on Wednesday, at least to the same degree. Even between meetings, you can balance the PA system for the first meeting, and come the second meeting, which may only be a couple of hours later, things have changed. I don't know why it is, it just happens. In the studio where I used to work, like which was acoustically built and sealed and locked overnight, you could set the whole thing up, go out, come back the following day, and everything was totally different. It sounded different, the levels had changed, everything was, I don't know why, it just happens. In other words, you can't rely on anything. You have to check everything. Okay, setting up, point three here, setting up is a great help. Note where things are plugged in. I mean, the times I've done that when I've plugged something in on the platform, got all the way back to the mixer, and forgot which hole I plugged it in. I have to go all the way back up and check it out again. Check that things are in the right hole. You'd be amazed what can get unplugged on the platform. Or even around the back of the mixer sometimes. Oh, the mixer at St. Paul's is pretty well shielded with a big wooden box, so that's okay. But I've known it in other places where people or kids or someone has come along and gone with two wires and done that, and crossed them and plugged them back in. So you can't see what's happened until something doesn't work right, and then you have to figure it out. Check the things in the right hole. Don't just take it for granted that everything has remained untouched through the week, especially on the mixer. Now, we had a real humdinger of a problem a couple of weeks back, and Pastor came to me and said, I can't get the PA to work. And we looked, the faders were up, the amp was on, things were plugged in, everything looked right, you know what I mean? But there was one little itty-bitty switch on the right-hand side of the mixer that says tape return to monitor. And someone had leant on it and pushed it down, and that kills the whole PA system. There's no light on it to tell you it's there, it's just one little itty-bitty switch. And it took some finding. So don't trust that things are just going to work. You have to make sure all the switches are in the right place. Now, I don't know where these mysterious fingers come from, but they're there, and they're there in every church, I tell you, they're there. So you need to be there in plenty of time. because you may have to improvise. Okay, point two, which is meaning that people can hear, right? Faith comes by hearing. You know this. It's no use having the system so quiet that some people have to struggle to hear. We've been in some places, and the PA system is actually on. It is working, but it's turned down so low that, you know, any kind of noise anywhere blots out whatever people are trying to say. And it's nothing worse with people sat listening, struggling to hear what's being said. I mean, the attention span in that situation is really short. If people have to concentrate really on what's being said, they get tired. There may be unsaved people. I mean, it is a church, you know. You might get a couple of heathens walk in, you know, and they need to hear the word. And I put there, the devil will oppose you. And you know, that's true. You know, if ever someone gets on the platform who's got a really quiet voice and you're struggling to get that, and you're right up to the point where it's feeding back and you can't squeeze another ounce out of it, that's when the kids start crying. That's when the cars start going past and the planes go over. Now, I don't really believe in coincidence. Not when there's a devil about. All right, to get the best sound, you may have to fight the system or the acoustics. In St. Paul's, that'll be both of those. Or noisy kids, like we just said. It requires knowledge of the mixer. We'll touch on that maybe next week. Squeezing volume out of the system without it feeding back is a real art. It's an art form. He's smiling. He knows. You have to trick the system sometimes to get it louder than it thinks it can go. Okay, anyone can learn the mechanics of the mixer. That is, you know, this is a volume control, this is a treble control, this is a bass control. Anyone can learn that. That's, you know. But it takes more than that to be an operator of the system. Okay, point three was you were there to serve the congregation. Right? Well, point three. You're there as a servant. Any job you do in the church, you're there as a servant. Operating the PA is an act of service to your brothers and sisters. Okay, it is thus an act of worship. Operating the system is an act of worship. Because you're serving others. You're serving your brothers and sisters. Okay, the seat behind the mixer is the most lonely seat in the church. It's true, you know. People only notice you when something goes wrong. You'll very rarely get someone come up and say, "Nice sound tonight. Did well." Very rare. But if the slightest squeak, howl, pop, buzz, fizz, crack or bang, all the heads turn around and it's just you and you. So it's a lonely seat. All right? But God sees you. Right? Point three there. God knows what you're doing. And he'll give you a pat on the back. Point four, you're there to serve the people on the platform who are God's servants. This is an unusual one, but one that we need to know. You're there to serve the people on the platform, right? Just having the microphone on really is not enough, but it's a good start. Right? It's a good place to start, have the mic on. Now, a preacher uses his voice as a tool. Most preachers do, anyway. They will use dynamics to emphasize points. Now, Colin Urquhart, who we were with for 5 years, was a master of this. And I could usually guess when it was coming. But he had a very rich, clear, deep voice, lovely to mic up, beautiful. But he was a bit of a tinker at times. He would go very quiet, even down to a little whisper. You know, down to a little whisper. And you knew every time he did it, as sure as eggs is eggs, somewhere in that sentence, the bomb was going to go off and he was going to let rip. You have to be ready for that. Now, if I'd have turned the microphone up, you know, a long way, which I had to do, really, for the whisper, and when he shouted, we were all pinned to the back wall, right? On the other hand, if I have the mic to the point where the shout's not so offensive, then the whisper and most of the other stuff is inaudible. So you can't just kind of sit there and do nothing. That's what I'm saying. You have to be in the flow with this person on the thing, and you have to go with them, right? I mean, I used to go with Colin Urquhart, and as he went quieter, I went louder. and by feel and by being there for long enough, you could get the sense of when he was going to get louder, and then you just had to be there. Now, by doing that, the people in the congregation heard what he was saying, the whispers as well, and they didn't get killed when he, you know, when he let rip. I remember once we were doing a conference, and I was watching him. You know, there's this wonderful art of watching people on the platform, which PA people really need to master, right? So I was watching him. He was walking across the platform like this, and he was just in full flow like this. And I you know, and suddenly the handkerchief came up. Just, you know, it was the mic on like this, and it was loud, you know. And he just went, boom! Sneeze, just like that. Like, but I was watching, so I was able to, like, you know, and no one heard the sneeze. Well, a few people heard the sneeze, but you know what I mean? But if I hadn't caught that sneeze, I mean, it would have been lethal. You have to be alert, and you have to watch. The difference between smoothness and the agitated or a jerky meeting is, you know, keep your eye on things. Because that sneeze would have really shown, you know, well, it probably would have woken half of them up. So, the preacher uses his voice as a tool, going loud at times, softer at others. It's to emphasize points. You need to go with him. You must make it as easy for him as you can. I've done some preaching, and I know what it's like to fight the microphone. It's a great feeling when you're speaking and your voice fills a room. You can feel it fills the room. It's a wonderful feeling. You know, you don't have to speak loud. You can just there. You've got a sort of command. If you're constantly raising your voice and struggling because the mic's not very loud, it's very frustrating. Which is the next point, isn't it? The preacher's voice must fill the room easily. It gives them command of the meeting and allows them to flow. If this is not the case, they will have to speak louder, which is a strain on their voice, which I've discovered. It's a distraction to their thinking. Is this mic on or can they hear me at the back? It's breaking their flow and their thinking. Both of these need to be avoided at all costs, and it only requires attention to detail from the PA operator. By achieving this for them, right, you are serving them and the congregation well. Hence, you're worshipping. If the preacher just shouts all the time, there's nothing you can do. All you can do is turn the mic down below deafening. The problem is, a shout always sounds like a shout, even if it's quiet. And shouts, continuous shouting, just fatigues people's ears and turns them right off. Some preachers, but more likely the people who give the notices or people who get up to give testimony, are mic shy. Or speak very quietly, or mumble. This is true, isn't it, Pete? This is very true. Mumble means to speak.
Not clearly.
Yeah, to have your head down and just mumble, mumble, you know. Not speak clearly and project. This is a nightmare, right? If they hold the mic away from their mouths so you can't get them through it, try to get them on the lectern mic. Now, this is if they're using the handheld radio, right, which we've got in the church, the handheld radio. And some people, instead of doing this, you know, they'll do this. And they'll talk to you like this, with the mic pointing up, you know, to the blue yonder there. Now, the microphones don't pick up from the back. They pick up from the front. See? So this is a nightmare. And some people will go, and you know, there's nothing you can do, short of gaffer tape their arms or something. I don't know, but you know, you don't normally get a chance to do anything. So if there's a mic on the lectern, which we have got now, use that one. Although that can be a bit temperamental if they move to the side of it. But there you go. Some preachers have funny sounding voices. Does anyone know Mike Skelton? Anyone ever heard of Mike Skelton? From Ramsgate.
Amazing.
He's a lovely guy, but he's got a voice that could crack eggs. I mean, you know, and oh, it's just, you know, if you get someone who's got a voice like that, then you need to be kind and kind to the congregation and try to make it sound less horrid or nasally. Sometimes people have blocked noses or something, and if someone's talking and their nose is blocked, I don't know about you, but it makes me want to go And I'm sure I'm not the only one, so to save all the sinuses in the congregation, if you can make them sound less nasally, it all helps. You know, if you can make them sound good, then you've done a good job. Point five, the key position in the meeting. This is your job description, this is. I hope you're taking this in. Your character counts. You hold this key position in the meeting. Like, it requires a person who is punctual. Obviously, you need to be there in time to set up, because there's nothing worse than getting there late and trying to fly around plugging all the mics in. And that's always the time when some kid has leant on the mixer and pushed off a dozen switches what didn't need to be done. It always happens when you're running a bit behind. Check the mixer is set up right. You have to visibly check the switches, because the switches don't have lights on them. The mute switches do, but some of the other switches don't have lights on, and they're just little tiny things, and they only go down a millimeter or something, so it's really hard to see. So you got to check and make sure that things are going where you expect them to go. If two switches are down at once, you can get what's called double monitoring, which means it comes up twice as loud as normal, which you don't really want. You must turn up when expected. Okay, enough said. You need to be committed to this if you're going to take it on. You know, the mild interest angle really isn't quite enough. Okay, point three, spiritual. You need to sense in your spirit when something is about to happen and be ready for it. Now, St. Paul's is a Pentecostal church, and we are not only open to God turning up and doing stuff, but we invite him with every fiber of our being that he will come and do something. When God turns up to do something, it's not what you expect. It never is what you expect. So someone on the platform might suddenly get, you know, a song. One of the singers might suddenly get a song. Or it might be Angie, she'll get a prophecy or something. Okay? You just need to be ready. And sometimes it's difficult to see if everyone's stood up and if they've got their arms up. And so it's difficult to see the platform. But you can sense a spiritual atmosphere. You can sense when God's going to move. Carol always gets to know if someone behind her over there is starting to get an inkling. She seems to know. It's because God doesn't go around shooting himself in the foot, you see. And if there's people there who need to know, then they get told. But you need to be open to receiving from God these things. Because the mic needs to be up. If someone suddenly starts to sing out a little prophetic song, the chances are it'll be a bit timid. So the mic needs to be there, ready. Otherwise, it's this distant echo in the background. There's this distant rumble in the background. And you wonder, what was that? And someone's stepping out in faith, singing their heart out, and no one can hear them. It's counterproductive, is that? Capable. You need to be like a super person. But God takes the unlikely ones and makes them into super persons. I can give you that from experience. We've really touched point five, the seat behind the mixer is the most important in the house. I mean, to a point, you control the meeting. There's a point where you control the meeting. I mean, at least you're a party to the control of the meeting. I mean, pastor comes to the mic and says, right, let's everyone take a seat now. I mean, if his mic's up good and loud, people will come and take a seat. If it's just like, in the distance, people just carry on talking and drinking their tea, which means it would appear the pastor's not in control of the meeting. I just thought of that. Hmm. If someone's really on fire and going for it and preaching an anointed message and the mic is just barely audible, you're fighting. You're fighting with the anointing on the platform. And it's our job, or it'd be your job, as PA operators, to make sure that every anointed word gets into every ear hole in the place as best you're able. If the thing's constantly feeding back, that really messes up a meeting. It's nothing worse, either in the preach or in the music time, if the PA's howling or got that low bass feedback that we get at St. Paul sometimes, or that nasty, horrible squeal when one of the singers does that in front of the monitor, and it really does break the flow of whatever's happening and takes people's attention. And you really want to avoid that if possible, because it takes their mind off God and puts it onto something like feedback, which really is a bad exchange. you carry a great responsibility. And the whole point, really, of this first session is to instill into you just the responsibility of operating the PA. It's not just a case of a microphone, an amplifier, and a speaker. It's a ministry. It's a ministry to the church, right? You need to be responsible for it. If you're going to take it on, you need to be aware and take this on as a ministry. I know this sounds odd, but that means paying attention to what you're doing. Not chatting or reading or even closing your eyes and looking spiritual. So the times that we've been on the platform and you've seen people on the PA and they've been turned around chatting to someone or cuddling baby or just like this, you know, and you've needed to get someone's attention to do something, it doesn't help. So there may be times when you're on the PA when you have to forego sort of entering into that side of the meeting, and it's a sacrifice sometimes. Some fellas the other couple of weeks back when I was on the PA, I sat right here behind me and they were, oh, it was driving me up the wall. I was trying to balance stuff and I was, you know, and I had to turn around in the end and tell them both to shut up. Which is not in my nature, as you can understand. I mean, I really had to see this. I had to tell him, I said, shut up. He said, why don't you worship God instead of chin-wagging? You know, I couldn't do my job because it was taking me here. You know, you may need to do that sometimes. But to pay attention and not have a chin-wag while it's all going on, because it's more important than that. Okay, give it all you've got. Summary then. Ooh, we're going quite quick. The PA system is really like a musical instrument. I always describe it this way. The mixer is like a musical instrument. You play it like a musical instrument. You very rarely, if ever, can just sort of set it and leave it like this. It just doesn't happen. For instance, if Carol's on, she comes to the microphone and starts to speak. And it's, you know, and she reads a scripture, da, 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 and her voice is this big, you know what I mean? And then the song starts. Suddenly this little voice goes, you know. So if you've got the mic up so that she can be heard speaking, and she starts to sing, then we're all in trouble. So you've got to go. But then, of course, there are times during the singing when she'll want to speak. So you have to keep your finger on the thing and watch. And then when she's going to speak, it's, when she sings, it's. Do you understand? You cannot just leave the thing alone. You have to play it. And that's true of the backing singers. It's true of the instruments, the piano and stuff. You know, there's times when the piano needs to go up and down. So, I mean, you've got one pinky on the piano fader and another pinky on the guitar fader like this. And you're kind of doing this all the time. You're playing an instrument. You're balancing the thing because you're compensating for the balance on the platform. I mean, if you could just set them up and tape them down, it would be rather nice, wouldn't it? Just put a piece of tape across the top. That's it. That's how they work. You know, it would be nice, but it doesn't work that way. We have to constantly maneuver this thing. We've done all this. You have to compensate for different voices. If the last person using the mic had a loud voice and the current person's voice is quiet, you have to turn the blummy thing up. Compensate quickly. We seem to have this miraculous ability to turn mics off. All PA people do it. I don't think I've ever had to teach anybody anywhere to turn the mics off when they're not being used. It just seems to be an inbuilt something. As soon as someone gets on the system, a mic's not in use, boom, they turn it off. Now that in itself is fine. Provided you remember to turn them back on again when they're needed. And this is where the fish impersonations come in quite a bit. We're really efficient at turning them off. If we were just as efficient at getting those little fellas back on, it would be wonderful. I mean, turning the mics off is really a good practice because, you know, they pick up all kinds of mush and you don't really want it at certain times. So, woof, great, off they go. And then when it's needed back on, it's like, you know, it's back on. Or if it's Carol's guitar, it's ying, you know, it comes in halfway through the first bar or the piano or something. You know what I mean? It's, I don't know what it is about people. It's really handy at turning them off, but really slow at turning them back on. Okay, you need to make sure the mics come on quick. You know, after 2 seconds, it's not where it's at. You know, it needs to be there from the first word, bang. And all of the above points apply to the worship leader and singers, as well as to preachers and pastors. And do your job well, and no one will notice you. I suppose it's the best compliment you can get when you're on the PA, is to get nothing. If no one actually comes up and says anything to you, then I suppose you've cracked it, really. Because I don't know, you know, if they come and complain, you do get complaints. Usually via the pastor or someone else. They never come to you face to face. Has anyone ever come up to you and said, nice one? Oh, that's because you're in the know, you see. You're in the know. I mean, I have done once or twice. Not in our church, but in other places. I've made a point of going up to the soundman and saying, oh, it's nice, well done. Or something, you know. Because I'm in the know, and, you know, but a lot of people just accept that there's sound, you know, and expect, oh, this has to be right. And if it's not right, they complain. But if it is really good, they expect it to be really good. So that doesn't warrant a compliment. The swiveling heads. It's a new ministry in the church, you know. It's closely followed by the hovering hand, you know. It would be a good idea, and we have to do it in rotation, but to get hold of the books, that the manuals that accompany the equipment that we've got. There's one for the mixer and the main amplifier, I think. They should all be together in one place, I'm not sure. Are they actually at the back on the mixer now? There's a folder there, a big orange thing. Is that them? I think that's them. But we'll have to do it in rotation so that, you know, you get to read through the books that come with the equipment. It'll give you an idea, hopefully, of what all the bits do. So, any thoughts, anybody? Anything extra? You all happy? Yeah. Okay, well, you've got your notes, so obviously you can read ahead and prepare questions and things, and we'll try and go through stuff as it comes along. And there's also these little things that actually I wrote ages ago about PA systems, and some of the information is the same as in your other stuff, but you can just take that and read it as a reference, sometime a reference manual. You can have one brother, because I've covered more things in there, like cables and multi-core cables and mains cables and stuff, which we're not covering in the PA course. So you can have them, and at your leisure, you can study them.